हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिः 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 ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 122. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Draupadi was encouraged by Kunti, who supplied her with assistance and appropriate items for worship, some chodi tam. So, she's not that Kunti, as we said, then Kunti, her position to do this worship, though she could happily do it. The problem is that because of her senior position, the queens in that might feel embarrassed. So therefore she has Draupadi do it. But it's not that she hasn't arranged everything. It's not that, I can't do it, so you have to do it, so you arrange everything. No, she arranges everything. And then has Draupadi do it. Right? But it's here. Yeah. And Draupadi was encouraged.
Why would she do that? Why wouldn't Draupadi arrange it? Because she's the lady of the house?
Because Kunti's, senior to her. Yeah. So when it comes to the control of the house, it's Kunti. Right. But you'll see the management is Draupadi. So like the Brahmins are the head, but the Kshatriyas do the ruling. So that's the whole thing. It's not that it's just dropped off in that and then it's their thing, but you're in control. No, it's that if you're the one leading it, then you make the arrangements. Others may take part in it or do the activity, but it's, in other words, it's Kunti's responsibility to see that it's happening. That's the whole thing that's going on. And Draupadi is then taking part because she wants to take part because that would be her position to do that. Mm-hmm. So you have both together. So if Kunti wasn't there, Draupadi would be the one to do it. Mm-hmm. Right? The word cha indicates that she also worshipped their daughters and the wives of their sons. So it wasn't just the queens themselves because they're the senior and leave everybody else. No, it's a matter of the queens' means and their daughters and their wives of their sons, and that means whatever comes with them, because the sons would stay with Krishna and the daughters would stay then with the mothers, and the wives of their sons would stay with them, and so then they would come together. So they're all worshipped together. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yes.
When it says that Draupadi worshipped the queens, is she doing like full arti?
It just depends. It says here, she worshipped each one with all the methods of worship, sarva shaha. So it means whatever was appropriate for that reception. So whatever it would be, if it's artiques and that whole thing, or if it's just, garlands, sandwich paste, nice gifts and other things like that, or, whatever's the appropriate thing. It means she would do the full. She wouldn't do full for some of them and then not for everybody else. So she would do properly for everybody. But at the same time, it would be according to their position. So the order of who she does it and the quality of things that she does and things like that. Yes.
It sounds like it's a group worship. It's not like specifically like each individual that they worship.
It depends upon what you're doing. If you're putting on garlands, they'd have to do it individually. Anything is individual, but if they're offering arti, they could do that all together.
Yeah, garlands and gifts is individual, but then...
Yes, but it doesn't say specifically what was used. But the principle is whatever you're doing, it would have to go according to that. But it says she gave maidservants, so it's also that you could be there and, there's so many queens, so then each maidservant then can do the... take care of each queen. So like that, you'd have to see. In any case, it's a grand scale. So one of the points being is that we can't complain, this is too complicated, we can't do this, there's too many people when there's only three. So that's why then this idea of extending the consciousness. So that's why it's considered bad if you only see Guru and nobody else. You're actually not. That means it's good that you see Guru and have faith, but it's not as advanced that if you see Guru and then the associates and that. Let's say, you know, like the Guru comes and he comes with a few people. Then many times you see they'll take care of the Guru and the people. Then they just don't take care of it all. They don't give them a place to stay. Don't get nothing. They're just on their own. You know, but they have to take care of everybody. But there's a difference in, you know, what how they take care. But the point is they take care of everybody. That's why it says here, even the daughters and wives of the sons. So you know that they're taking care of everybody. Is that...
That's a practical question. Say Guru wants to come with his crew, but we can't really take care...
But then you also can tell him that you have this facility.
It's not an offense to tell
Guru,
Guru Maharaj, I can't take
care. Yeah, but ideally before they show up. Yeah. I mean, before they even get on the plane, they should know like that. Yes, but otherwise you hear of things where they showed up and they gave Maharaj, you know, a nice room and all that, and then everybody else had to, you know, sleep in this corner and, you know, share a bed with somebody else in the, you know, all that kind of funny, or they ended up in the laundry room or all kinds of stuff like that. So, you know, Guru was going along fine until he found out everybody else's arrangement, and then he just packed up all their stuff and they went to a hotel. You know, because then everybody could be taken care of nicely, because they were all there with him, all doing the same thing. So it's not that they could, you know, are expendable and just he's the one, you know, the program is dependent upon everybody. So like that is that one has to be able to see and broaden. That's why we see these things, is that, you know, someone comes, they immediately want to get into the whole program and the classes and the management and this and that. But what about coming, receiving, you know, how you say, getting some rest, taking some prasad, you know, these, and then getting into these things. So the personal aspect is very important. So that's what we're learning from all these, is that this is how Krishna likes it done. He likes to do it by these personal methods. So that's what we're supposed to catch here, is that to please Krishna, then the devotees are very dear, so therefore then we take care of the devotees. Right? We don't just worship the Lord, not the devotees. We do both. You know, and so it's not just, okay, Krishna, and then, you know, some of the major people with him, like that, but it's also then everybody who's with him, right? So then his wives, you know, their daughters, their daughters-in-law, you know, everybody. It's that everybody in the party has to be taken care of, because that party has come with them. That means they're important to the person they came with. Does that make sense? It's not that, okay, you invited him, he came on his own, and all these people just happened to, well, here he's going and got on the plane and came along with him. That's another thing. Then when they get there, they make their own arrangements because they're not part of his group. Like that. If you can do something or help, then that's always nice. It's always good to serve the devotees. But it's not that they can expect that, no, we've came with Guru Maharaj, because they haven't. But here, Krishna brought everybody. Therefore, you have to take care of everyone right down to the last detail. You know, down to their pet parakeet. Right, you know. Yes?
Like we see in the Vedic culture, the Indian culture also, till recently, that any small function happens, that everyone who is invited, especially the ladies, they are at least given a sandalwood paste, a kumkum, and some small gift.
Right.
If it is a big one, then men also may be given gifts. Otherwise, at least the ladies, get something.
So the ladies get something whether it's a small or big program. Yes. And men, the men will get if it's a small program, but not necessarily the big. Oh, they'll only get if it's a big program.
Big program. And if it is
meaning that it's a formal arranged and things like that.
It's a big.
Small when it's more intimate, then it's just the ladies get.
If you have some griha praveh or something, but the girls and the ladies have to get something.
Okay.
Men.
So you're saying that somehow or another, with time, things have gotten minimum reversed, if not nobody gets anything.
Basically, like on a personal note, it is more interesting that it is more intimate and intense in the atmosphere.
Okay. Yeah, nice. No, but that's what it mentions. If we, it, that goes back to Manu, then when it's talking about dealing with the ladies, then it's talking about that at any kind of special occasion or any kind of festival and that, then they're always offered nice things to eat and, you know, things to wear or everything like that. So then this is taking it that step further. It's not just the husband has to arrange, but anywhere they go, any of the guests, the ladies always get something.
And that is because the lady is considered to be a representative of Lakshmi ji.
The lady is representing Lakshmi, yes. So she's the Griha Lakshmi. Yes.
Manasome, the third chapter.
Please. No verse number.
I forget.
Which half of the verse? This word. Specifically on this soul. Yes.
A place where women are not honored, no yajna takes fruit.
Yes. Yeah, as we see, is how well did it go for the Kauravas, you know, in their dealing with Draupadi. That's the point that they all were destroyed, and the war happened, and all that is simply that point. So that's the amazing thing, is that Krishna's getting them all together at once, because you want to remove the burden of the earth, you do it all at once. Right? And so then here he can do it just by this one incident. So then there he takes care of the devotees, but at the same time, is by the environment that they arranged, the Kauravas, it destroys every last one of them. Like that. So that's the problem. You can't deal with it. So if this is understood, then it's done nicely. But at the same time, is because of all this, this is actually what should be doing. At the same time, is to balance that, then the women's attitude and, you know, how they deal and nicely and all that. That's there to counter this, that it stays within its proper place. So then you can have nice interaction. In other words, everybody should be trying to take care of the ladies, but at the same time as they're trying to deal nicely. Mm-hmm. Then it works out very well. But if they don't deal with the ladies, then the ladies go off and make their own arrangement, and that you know, is not going to be ideal, because relationships won't be strong. Facilities may be gained and all that, but if one is taking care, it's not about the facilities. It's not that you got a sari or you got this or that. It means that comes along and it's nice. But if no one takes care, then the lady goes out, she gets her own stuff. Then it is about that stuff. So it means the consciousness drops. So it appears that it's being arranged, but it's arranged without relationship. So that's the whole thing that one's trying to do, is maintain the relationship, cultivate the relationships. So there's a lot more involved when you get into the grihastha scene. So the difference between the brahmachari situation and the grihastha is quite vastly different in the way of just the volume of responsibility and care that has to be taken. Does that make sense? Yeah.
But now, when we speak about the ladies in all the Bhagavatam, it means every lady is protected.
Yes. But it's like, what's going on here, which mentions here, it only mentions it here. Up to this point, we haven't seen this mentioned yet, right? In all the other stories that we've heard. But it doesn't mean that it's not going on. It's just that it means it's brought out here. That's the whole idea, is that we see it here. That's what applies for everywhere. Because otherwise, if at every story we have to get into full details of each thing, then how are we going to get through? Right? But to make sure that you know that, you see Mahabharata will do that more. You know, it's like in the battle, you know, then, you know, Arjuna, you know, with 10 arrows, he did this, and then 15 arrows, and he cut, you know, his bowstring, he shot his horses, he did this, and then with 3 arrows, he did that, and fight, and then the other guy counters them, and every time, every fight, they mention that. You know, so that's the thing. You can do that, but that's what draws everything out so big. Like this. But the Bhagavatam is getting down to the essence, is that it's showing these things in the context of the devotion, because you can see what devotion is being expressed here. And so now that etiquette's being discussed in context with that etiquette. Because it has that devotion is expressed through something, so it's here. But in all the others, they were, you know, talking about, I say, Vamanadeva with Bali Maharaj, his surrender and that. So you don't hear about at their having a yajna and all the ladies that came there that Bali Maharaj's wife is not taking care of, but that's not the point of that story. Because if you're just hearing about the story, you wouldn't want to hear tell all that. But we're talking about the devotional aspect. And so this is the one that's there. But here, you can see, is they're all devotees, and so they're so it's brought out at this point. Not that saying other situations aren't, but it only has to be explained once. Right? So things that are more important, it means they can be more in the forefront. Like, you're not this body, I'm the soul, I'm servant of Krishna. You can say that every 5 minutes and it's not a problem. But if every 5 minutes I say, you know, every time ladies go somewhere, they should get, you know, be received and get gifts and this and that. And if I say that, then what's going to happen?
We would be happy. Huh? You will become popular.
Yes. But at the same time, it'll throw off the balance. Right? Yes. So those things will be that are more important, that are that, then they can be said many things. And some things may be said only once. Like here, you'll see this once in the whole Bhagavatam. That doesn't mean it's any less important. It just means it's in its context, this is what has to be done. So, does that make sense?
Maharaj, we had the safari like 2 months ago in Bangladesh. And we could experience these beings there, yes, very nicely. And not only, as you said, the present and size and all this, that was there, the money, everywhere, everything. But even though, because it's a Muslim country, they were saying that the Mataji especially cannot go, nobody like can go alone outside, and no shopping here, and this, but some Matajis always like to do shopping, so they were nicely taking to see devotees with the Mataji doing shopping over here, there.
Shopping, so, you mean like...
Shopping.
Oh, shopping. I was going to say, I was just imagining what's the deal, Kali there with her. We like to go out shopping. Okay, yeah. What about those guys? Yeah. I mean, that would be fun too, right? You know? I used to go, when the going gets tough, the tough go chopping. Yes, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so... they take the priority to please devotees in general.
Hmm. Yes, because the culture is they see the value in the culture. Well, here they're willing to give it up and take up other cultures because they can. Well, it's there is that, you know, it's not being encouraged, so then you stick to your own. Does that make sense?
It's sacrifice also, no? For them, for example, when Mataji first and broke their arm, like 2 days in the hospital, different hospital, and it was so...
Yes, yes. No, but I'm saying the point being is that we're seeing here is that this is the culture. This used to be the culture. You may only see certain aspects of it there because their culture is not being encouraged. So therefore, it's their identity. They stick with it. Well, in other parts of India, those who go out, they do have an option of not doing it if they want to. And so then they can easily not take that identity. Like you see is that any country, they may be doing whatever they want, and then when another country comes in and takes over, now they start identifying with their own culture, their own food, their own language. You know what I'm saying? So it's just that's a natural thing. But the point being is that the culture is always there. That's always been the standard. And so anywhere we can see it, we know that's the standard. So because we don't see it anywhere else doesn't mean that that's still not the standard. So we see it here in the Bhagavatam, even though it's not mentioned in other stories, it still doesn't mean that this is not the way it works. And we only see it there. We can't complain that, oh, I'm not seeing it here, so what's going on? No, it's a matter of we see it, we know what it is, we apply it in our life. Because it doesn't matter if everybody else does it or not. If they do, it's a nice example. But if they don't, we've had the example from Shastra. So based on just the Shastric, then we can do it. Then if we have the Shastric and we see others doing it, that makes it even more encouraging. Okay. She worshipped each one with all the methods of worship, Sarvasaha. Bhadra was worshipped between Satyabhama and Jambavati because she was considered equal. Her brothers gave her with devotion as the fathers of Satyabhama, and Jambavati gave their daughters. Shaibya refers to Mitravinda, right? So in the verse they mention all the names. So sometimes some of them have two different names. You know, so they're all their names, but depending upon what quality you want to bring out or situation or relationship, then you mention them. The second cha refers to Lakshmana, or Shaibya can mean auspiciousness. This word then refers to Lakshmana. Right, so then it can either be as that it's Shaibi and Lakshmana, or it can mean auspiciousness and Lakshmana. You know, means that the situation, because you don't necessarily have to mention all of them. You just have to mention what will bring out the point that's being there, because it's not, they're not going to go through all the queens. So the of the eight main queens, generally they'll mention, but even if they don't, you get the idea. And of the 16,100, we see that only on rare occasions that mention Rohini, because she represents all them. Right?
We came across once.
But here, because we have the... we've mentioned that the daughters and wives of the sons, that means automatically we know all the queens were taken care of. You know, so it didn't say specifically that the eight queens, their daughters and their daughters-in-law, they were taken care of, and the other 16,108 had to, you know, go out and find motels like that. You know, but it wasn't a problem because the Patels are there, and so they had plenty of space. They could take care. Right? Right? We're talking about Dwarka, right? So, and Patel, right.
Indraprastha.
But it's still an extension of... It's just like the Patels in America. There's still an extension of the Dwarka saints. The word then refers to Lakshmana. Okay. She was worshipped before Nagnajiti because of her great devotion to the Lord. This is clear from the discussion at Kurukshetra, right? So he's showing that also in the discussion at Kurukshetra that will be coming up here, and that, you know, very much details are in Mahabharata. That then you can see is what's the different natures of the different queens and all that. So there is levels even of these queens. Does that make sense? You know, just where their, you know, their devotion to the Lord, the position, how they came to be arranged, and, you know, the marriages and all those kind of things. But in any case, Rukmini is going to be the top. That's it. As with the eight principal queens, she worshipped other wives along with the wives of their sons and grandsons. She gave other items like food, rooms, and beds. So these, you gave them things personally, you gave them places to stay, you gave, you know, all this can be there to use. Because they want to know, right? Because then this is mine. Because you have to be clear as that Manu mentions that the sitting place of women, the bed of a woman, her items that are hers, that they're totally hers. And so you have to be very, very careful in dealing with that. It's not that, oh, you know, it's my wife, so I use it how I want. No, that's hers. It's your wife, and it's hers. So that's her seat. Now, if she doesn't mind you sitting on the seat when she's not there, that's fine. But when she's there, it's her seat. And if she says, no, you sit there, then that's okay. But you don't just take it for granted that it's my seat. Right? And that's something that, as long as you use it and you don't, you know, mess it up or make it stinky or stuff like that. But if it's stuff that, what would be the term? Expendable? You know, then that's something they say, go ahead and use it. That means that one time in that situation. It doesn't mean now you just use it whenever you like. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's very important. So you can't then next time go to use that when it's going, why are you using that? You got your own. You know. So one has to understand is that that's why then here gave other things like food, rooms, beds, because this is her room. That's not going to be someone else's going to come. It's her bed. No one else is going to use it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, because you're giving, so that means that's what it is. That means while they're guests, when they leave, it's your room. It's your room, but you've given it. So in other words, Draupadi, as the queen of the palace, has given this for them to use. So then during that time that they're stay, however long it is, that's there. But when they go, the next time, it's not automatically it's their room. No, then again she gives. So it goes both ways. Yes.
But if you give food and room like this, and in a personal way, that's a big arrangement. Like if, you know, like
yes,
it seems bigger than giving an item, you know, like to know each person's taste.
Yes, but that's why the Vedic system, that's what it's about. So if one spends one's time learning that, You know, but why do that? Because it pleases Krishna. Because for Krishna, it's about the relationship. It's not about the facility. But the situations are through which you express the relationship. So that's why they go along with it. But it's not about this. You know, it's not that, you know, if we want to, you know, we may have misunderstood here. You know, everyone's getting into the self-help and management and all that. We should be actually going into hospitality courses, like, you know, how to run a hotel and how to do this and how to serve and how to cook and all these things like that. And that will then be, no. It's that it's a matter of these are the dealings for this particular situation. So the personal dealings are like this. Then you have the arrangements, the management, the organizing and all this, because she is organizing all this. So all these things will be happening. So we know is that these are all parts. So if we know their parts, then we cultivate them all. So it's only really difficult because we don't have those things. You know, it's just like you show up at people with nice facility and stuff like that. I've seen so many times as you go there and then they just give you the master bedroom. You know, you're coming, so, you know, you sit down, you're this and that, you're taken care of a little bit and this and that. During that time, they go get a few things out of the room and the bathroom that they need, and then they make some other arrangement. Because it's for them standard. If someone comes like that, of that level, then that's the facility you give. So it's not a problem. Right? But if one's not used to that, then, you know, giving up your space and this and that, and we're going to say, oh, this is such a trip, you know, it's a whole different thing. It's just the mentality. So that's the whole thing, is that if the culture's there, you grew up in that culture, these things are easier. That's why then the culture is recommended. Why? Not because it necessarily it's better on the material platform. It's that it's better for use in devotional service. The culture, the Varnashram, the culture is all better for devotional service. So we see here is they're all devotees, all engaged in interaction with devotees and the Lord. And so what form do they use? It uses the Vedic culture. Because it's the best. That's why they're doing it. So there's no other reason to do it. If it wasn't the best, they wouldn't use it. They'd use whatever is the best. Does that make sense? So that's the idea. They're focusing on that, making that come out. Then if that's appreciated, then by practice growing up in it, and that, it becomes very easy. Like I've seen, is no matter how kind of punky and modern and crazy, like you see a lot of times these young Indians like that, when a wedding comes along, a family wedding where they invite thousands of people, they're right there, they know what to do, how to serve prasad, take people around, host people, do everything perfectly. You know, they're like they get out there, you know, the funny tight pants with the long kurta and the cheddar and everything like that. And as soon as the wedding's over, again, they're ripped jeans and other stupid stuff. But the point is they know what to do because they've grown up in it. And it's not like, oh, I don't want to do this. It's just, this is what's done because it works so nicely. And so that's the whole thing. If that's there, then it's that. So that's what Prabhupada's recommending. We're taking it that it's rules, regulations, control, this, loss of independence, loss of sense. No, it's actually what increases it. But the difference is yes, it doesn't encourage self-centered sense gratification. It encourages engaging the senses connected with Krishna and the devotees. So that's the difference. Since our ultimate intent is different, that's where the pain comes. But otherwise, the technique, we're going to do that anyway. It's just a matter of, if I feel that this person is going to give me some material benefit, I'm willing to do it. But if it's just a matter of Vaishnava etiquette and that I don't see any benefit, then why should I do it? Why should I give up my nice situation? So that's the difficulty, is that one has to understand is that these mechanics of culture and qualities used in culture, their value is only that they're useful for devotional service. So unless we see them, their use in sense gratification or our own personal gain, we won't use them. And so the point is no, these are useful because of devotional service. And yes, they do. It doesn't work out really great for your personal sense gratification. You're there, you're serving prasad, seeing everybody eats, and so on. Finally, everybody's eaten and all that down to the last person. Then you sit down and eat. Now, at that time, you may not be that hungry or this or that, or there may half the preparations might not be there, you know, how you say. You might just end up with, you know, salad and dal, you know, like that. But the point is that that whole niceness of taking care of everybody, that's the whole point. The sense gratification is not. But in the modern, it's about sense gratification. Oh, therefore the servers, they should eat all first and all that, because then if they're satisfied, they'll serve nicely. I have yet to see that be a viable method, that they actually are good servers. They're terrible servers whether they ate or before or not. It's just that the other one, they'll have more of a service attitude because they haven't eaten, and that they have eaten, what do they have to gain from the whole thing anyway, since they don't know how to serve prasad? So in other words, it's a matter of seeing it in relationship to the personal and that connected to Krishna. So there's personal relationships and interaction and the methods and moods to make it work. This is common ground between materialism and spiritual and devotional, right? So the point is we're willing to do those if I see it in connection to the benefit I'll materially get, rather than what benefit is there on the spiritual. And we're thinking that it's two different things, but it's actually, what's different is whether it is the value system. Whether devotion is the value system and personal there, or my benefit, and only then will the personal come up. So since it's about me, if I can be happy without the personal, I'll do it. Like that. So those cultures that are more personal, then they're actually on a superior level, which is strange because they're the ones that are more impersonal always claim they're of a lower culture. Right? You know, all the third world, what makes them third world? They care more about personal relationships than making a bunch of money. But you see is that if they have an opportunity to make a bunch of money, they make that bunch of money and maintain the relationships. Right? Maybe the kids don't, but they do. So the whole thing is that the relationships and the techniques of the relationships, that means the knowledge, the skill, the qualities being used like that, then if the intent is pleasing Krishna, then it has its glory. It has the devotional glory and the material glory. And if it's just about ourselves and what we'll gain, then how well we've done it, we'll get the material benefit. And how well we don't do it, we won't get the benefit. It's simple like that. Does that make sense? So that's why it's being recommended. But that means recommended means we accept it, we try to apply it in our life, however it works in our life. Because we don't have to worry. It says, no, I can't do that. It says, you know, when was the last time that 16,108 queens with their daughters, right, because and daughters-in-law showed up? Okay, now, what are we talking about? 16,108 queens. Each one had one daughter. So that means another 16,108. Now they have 10 sons. Each one of those has one wife, at least the minimum here we're talking about here. So that means 11 girls along with the queen. So that's 12. So 12 times 16,108. So we don't have to worry that that's showing up. We have to worry about that our one friend is showing up with his wife and their friend and their daughter.
And the wives of their grandsons also.
Wives of the grandsons, yeah. They have. Yeah, so the point is that that's why it's shown on this level, that it can be done on this level, we can do it on our level. You know? It's like you had that Brahmin family in Eka Chakra. They don't have a whole lot. They're a simple Brahmin family, but then when the Pandavas show up, so that means, what is it, 7 of them, then they give them a room and that's their place to stay. And they'll maintain themselves by their own begging, so they'll go out and then the family maintains themselves and then they spend time together and talking. So it's understood what's the relationship because they're Brahmins and all that. So it's simple, but it works. So, yeah. And so because it's the same culture, the Pandavas as their guests aren't going to do something that doesn't match the Brahminical culture the Brahmins are staying with, because they'll live according to Brahminical culture. So that means you are extending that kind of facility to like-minded persons. Does that make sense? Yeah.
What would be the best to do to reciprocate with this kind of culture? For example, I went
to
reciprocate because they don't accept like anything. I went to Chennai for
be nice.
Asapuya, and they were even they. It's only mother and daughter, two small single mattresses. So they gave to Mamataji and myself that were in their house. And then in the night, I went to the bathroom. I saw the Mataji in the living room, just on the plain floor. Nothing under.
Yeah, but then you go back and tell them that, no, this is for you, you use it.
And then anything they want to buy or clean or leave, they don't allow to do
Yeah,
anything.
But the point is it's the mood in which it's all done. That's then what you're trying to deal with. So it's not that they gave you a facility, you're giving the same facility. That means you try to reciprocate, but it's about the mood that's going on here. So that's what we're trying to catch here, is because of their mood, that willingness to do, the willingness to, that's what's happening. That's what you're trying to do. So? Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, King Yudhishthira arranged for Krishna's rest and saw to it that all who came along with him, namely his queens, soldiers, ministers, and secretaries, were comfortably situated. Right? So queens, we know, is quite a few. Ministers will be, you know, whatever came with him, and soldiers will be, you know, even more than the queens, because each queen had a whole guard around her that you couldn't, there was no space between them, and no one could just get in the gap. Right? So, yeah. He arranged that they would experience a new feature of reception every day while staying as guests of the Pandavas. So they're kings, so they do something great like that. You do how much you can. In other words, the idea is it's not just because they're there, it's just boring and going on. If you can make variety, you do. And but it's according to what you can do. You know, you can't do what Yudhishthira Maharaj did. But the point is you try to make it nice, just like yourself in your own home. When you cook, you make variety. And do things variety. So the same thing, when there's guests, you do the same thing. You know, whatever is your standard, whatever is your level, then you do. But if you know that they have certain things, then you try to accommodate within that. But in any case, it has to be within what you can do. But the point is you as a person, they as a person, you're interacting. Right? And that consideration, then that is pleasing to Krishna. Right? Because they're Krishna's living entity. So you have to see like that, not just focus on just taking care and not understand that it's about Krishna in it. Because when you forget Krishna, then it kind of drops down. But in any case, even if you don't, you just take care nicely, at least that it has that pious element, and so then that's good, and that pleases Krishna. So you can either be more directly pleased, means more directly pleasing Krishna, that while you're doing this because it pleases Krishna, and follow all the rules. Or follow all the rules, and afterwards, or before, then you see it connected to Krishna, and then Krishna's then happy by the indirect aspect. Does that make sense? That's the point. The residents of the spiritual world, they're able, by their dealings, the secondary actually becomes primary. They're non-different, like iron and fire. Mm-hmm. But in the material world, because we don't use the fire, you can really tell the difference between a piece of iron and the fire. But in the spiritual world, you can't. So you don't. You just, it's the pastime. But us learning from it, you know, following in the footsteps, then we understand is that we're using the form of it. But the point is that form of it is not more important than the primary element. So we can never forget that. So that means whatever we're doing, hosting devotees, we're cooking, we're managing, you know, we're doing book distribution, whatever we're doing, we can't think that the technique of it is more important than the devotion in which you're supposed to be expressing. Because otherwise we see anytime someone gets proud of whatever they are, it always falls apart. Doesn't matter how good they are, an expert, and how much it's for Krishna. So they're doing this because of relationships. So it's not pride. It's not that Yudhishthira saying, I'll show them how. Duryodhana was doing that. He wanted to keep Krishna when he came as a messenger and eat lunch there because it's prestigious and he'll give him, you know, food fit for a king. But he went to Vidura's house where he'll get chapatis and some spinach.
And some banana peels.
Yes. Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. Like that. The monkeys get the bananas, he gets the banana peels, everybody's happy. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Vishwakarma previously made the palace of large size for this purpose, right? Because he knows they're the Pandavas if he's going to be the emperor of the world. Here, they've saved his life, and who can burn the Kandava forest? How did they do that? By fighting with the demigods. Right? What was the point? Nothing gets out of the forest. Right? So that he then gave him shelter, then he didn't actually technically have to. And the power of this, the demigods, the demons, none of them can do. So here you're dealing with Nara Narayan, Rishi. And so he wants to do something nice. So they on them on their level, they're going to do something very grand. Because as it is, he did something very grand. He's even, he wanted to do it. Did he just take his bows and arrows and chariot and go there? No. Moon God had to give him that chariot, give him the bow, give him the quiver, you know, inexhaustible quivers, give him two of them, not just one, you know, because he's, you know, he's ambidextrous like this. And so with that, and then Krishna driving the chariot, then they took care. So it's something only Narayana Rishi could do. No demigod, no one else in the universe could do it. So therefore, then, he made the palace of large size for this purpose, knowing that he knows what people who do things big do, because he's the architect for the demigods. So he knows all these things. Does that make sense? So, like that, then you make all these arrangements. Namely, his queen, soldiers, we got down to here. Yudhishthira made arrangements for them because he was the king of Dharma. Right, so he made the arrangements because he's the king of Dharma, Vishwakarma because he's the king of the demigods. He can see how he does all those things. And so then he arranges all these nice things. Because Krishna called him to build all this. You know. So, you know, it's good to go. Because that's, what do you call it? When Ram called Varuna and he didn't come, it didn't work out so good. Or Balaram called Yamuna and it didn't work out so good. Right? So, you know. It was suitable for Yudhishthira to make these arrangements for Krishna, since Yudhishthira was the best of devotees wanting to see him. Anuga refers to Krishna's sons, grandsons, Uddhava and others. Amatya refers to Kritavarma and others. Right? So even within the, you know, ministers or whoever's with him, then you have everybody else who's with him. So there's those who are close, meaning the sons, grandsons, and close friends and that, and then you have those who are like, you know, secretaries, ministers, the formal kind of thing like that. Srila Sukadeva Goswami concluded, desiring to please King Yudhishthira, the Lord resided at Indraprastha for several months. During his stay, he and Arjuna satisfied the fire god by offering him the Kandava forest, and they saved Maya Danava, who then built King Yudhishthira's celestial assembly hall. Right? And so how big was the assembly hall? Right? Just, I think, the water in the middle was something like 2 miles by 2 miles or something. It was big. It was really big. So, yeah. The Lord also took the opportunity to go riding in his chariot in the company of Arjuna, surrounded by a retinue of soldiers. Right? So that kind of point then gives rise to, you know, so he was here, he stayed for months, he did these few things, and so it was all very wonderful. And it ends, concludes the story, but now that gives rise to new questions. You know, what's this burning of the Kandarva for? What, you know, that. Conclusion. Srila Prabhupada concludes in Krishna book. It was during this time that Lord Sri Krishna, with the help of Arjuna, allowed the fire god Agni to devour the Kandava forest for his satisfaction. During the forest fire, Krishna saved the demon Mayasura, who was hiding in the forest. Upon being saved, Mayasura felt obliged to the Pandavas and Lord Krishna. He constructed a wonderful assembly house within the city of Hastinapur. To please King Yudhishthira, Lord Krishna remained in the city. Right, so he did that, but also because it's Krishna's plan. Now, what's going to happen? Now, they saved Maya. Maya built the assembly house. Right? Then, what's going to happen in this assembly house? Duryodhana is going to get insulted. Because of that, what's Duryodhana going to do? He's going to have the gambling match. What's going to happen in the gambling match? They're going to insult Draupadi. Right? So, his whole point was is that you had, he was there, and it wasn't so much that Bhima is laughing and all that. Boys do something stupid, they have a good laugh. It may be annoying, but it's not that annoying. But what happened, all the ladies of the palace, they were laughing. So what's he going to do? He's going to make something that now the ladies of his palace are laughing at. You understand? That's the whole thing. So we got a lot more going on. So we can see Krishna arranged all this. And it's just unfolding. And it's a nice thing that he need assembly hall. So for Krishna, it's in reciprocation with his devotees. But as God, it's arranging for the battle of Kurukshetra that will remove all the burden of the earth. Yes?
It's interesting that actually kind of Krishna was planning to provoke Duryodhana, like really.
Yes, but it's not with technically within the pastime. It's within, he's making that arrangement, and then the pastime unfolds.
Yes.
So you see, there's two things going on at once. Is him as his Ichashakti, right? Yes. So that means the interaction with the devotees.
Yes.
Then as Kriya and Jnana, that means as, you know, as Brahman and Paramatma, then he's arranging the background in which this will all happen.
Yes.
So that's how you can look at it from both angles, how Krishna's, you know, is arranging all this to remove the burden of the earth. But that's not actually the main thing for Krishna. He's arranging this because he wants a nice assembly hall for him. He wants the best for his devotees.
So that's a case with the demons, that whatever relationships devotees have nice, then demons are provoked, actually.
That's there. That's happening anyway. They're provoked even if another demon has nice facility. You know? Even themselves have a nice facility. Like, you know, you talk about, yeah, you know, yeah, I went to the party. You know, how did it go last night at the party? I didn't see it. Yeah, I was there at this party, and there was this happening and that, and there was this guy, and wow, he was doing this and that. It was so fabulous, and I was so impressed and all that. They're talking about the person they're talking to, but they don't mention his name. He doesn't know who's this guy. Like that, you know. They get even envious of themselves. You know, so it's just, you know, so, you know, it's like a dog chasing its tail, right? You know, it's like, hey, what's that? You know, you know, so you know, cats generally don't do it sometimes for a moment because cats are more flexible. So they can get around and see, oh, that's my tail. Dog's not flexible enough. It's just he can see the tip, but he can't see where the tip's connected. And that connected that there's this, you know, there's him. Yeah, so yeah, it's just Krishna's arrangement. So like that, then, Krishna is arranging wonderful things for his devotees, and at the same time, he's managing as a side thing the maintenance of the universe. So that's the thing, is he's coming in and to interact with the devotees and establish religion and remove the inimical elements. The establishing religion, removing the inimical elements, those happen as a side thing to pleasing the devotees. Because devotees, you please them, you create a nice environment, you get rid of the obstacles. But it's for pleasing them. Because he doesn't have to come to get rid of Jarasandha. Right? Maya can do that. The modes of nature will do that. The guy's going to die anyway. You know what I'm saying? So that's the, you know, we were talking about banana peels. He can slip on a banana peel and break his neck. You know, so it doesn't, that's just the way it goes. So he comes to interact with his devotees. And then all the things he would do as God that he doesn't have to be there for, he'll do that at the same time. He's so expert that through the arrangements he makes to please the devotees, he already removes what's not nice. Does that make sense? It's just like I come into the kitchen to cook something nice, but I, in the process, I remove the not niceness of the kitchen, in which is hard to cook. Right? I clean everything, I wash everything, I make it. But it's not about I'm cleaning up the mess. I'm cooking. You understand? So if I look at it, I'm cooking something, cleaning up the mess is not a problem. If I'm coming in and the last guy's left, you know, what's this and that, and they always leave a mess, and why do I have to clean? Then it doesn't enhance the relationships. It's not a nice thing. So it's about focusing on the pious. If you focus on the pious, the impious is already taken care of. It's not a separate thing. So that's what we have to catch, is that we're being given the solution to all our impious problems by doing this. Does that make sense? You know, so the difficulty was to have, you just keep applying this. But it's not, but in this is that, you know, it's like the last question is that they took care of us, and now we're trying to take care of them, not accepting. But what's the main point that's going on here? It's not the things that they're giving them. It's the making the arrangements. Otherwise, why would he mention Yudhishthira Maharaj said, you know, that he arranged for Krishna's rest and saw that all who came along with him were comfortably situated. So he saw to it. So it's the personal dealing that is there. So that's the whole thing. So that's what makes it work. Then it has this form. So they use that form in their place, but it's the mood. So then when they come to your place and you try to use the form and it doesn't work, it's the mood that's going to make it work. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're laying on the floor. You gave them a place, they're laying on the floor and think, oh, this is too nice for us. Our place is, you know, what we gave them wasn't so nice, and this is so nice, so we can't sleep on this. We're from the village, and they're like this and that. Then it's that. There, you come in, they're sleeping on the floor. Then you go, wake up, no, sleep on the bed. This is for you. You know, I want you to be here, and this and that. And you, the mood then makes it work. Does that make sense? You know, unless they say, no, when I sleep on beds, I got a bad back, so I always sleep on the floor. So even in my house, I sleep on the floor. I have a fancy bed, but I never use it. It's only for guests. Then, you know, okay, then sleep on the floor. Is he comfortable? You need something. You know? So, you know, like that. So it's the same thing. That's what we were discussing earlier. You know, the first is that one has to take it and take it through the process. That the thing that's working is not the giving of the gifts, giving of the rooms, giving of the beds, the food. It's the mood in which it's done. That's the working principle. These others are instruments that are being used. It's just like you are, this person's a good cook. They want to cook something nice. That's what's making the cooking work, not their technique. You know, because you can have technique and not be great. I mean, how much technique is there? You know what I'm saying? And people go to these cooking schools, they don't know the technique. They're an expert at the technique. But the point is what makes the difference between the guy with the stars and the guys without? It's the mood in which they're cooking, the enthusiasm in which they're cooking, that spirit. That's then what causes it. Then we'll think, no, because they do these combinations and do something new. But then we'll try to do that, and it may have some effect, but it still won't get it done. Does that make sense? Because it's the mood that they have that they do that. That's what we're trying to get to here. Is that the secondary is only for expressing it, but you have to catch the mood. But you'll catch, so we have to give gifts and everything like that, and we have to take care. No. You're trying to please the Vaishnavas. You know, is that things like that. And in doing that, you do these things. You know, and then we're over here. Yeah, so then we're doing these things and all that. That will please the Vaishnavas. No. Over here. Oh. That's what we're trying to get. You know, otherwise you get down to here. Is it better to give the sari that I have that I could give them and all that, or one that they want that I can't go out and get and all that, but this one I know they prefer the other, so should I give them or not give them because they want... No. This one. You try to please them. Because even if it's something that may be not ideal, but because the mood's right, it'll be fabulous. Like I remember one devotee was telling me they got a present from somebody, and it wasn't that great of a present. You know, according to what they normally use. And they brought, something came up one day about, you know, something, oh, it's not good, nothing like that. It says, and they point out, no, it's the mood. It says, I'm using this because of the mood in which it was given, not because it's a fabulous thing. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that yes.
Actually, see, some people, they have a natural mood,
right,
which is very accommodating, very
yes,
pleasant.
Yes.
And some are not.
Yes.
So can we fake the mood? Is it possible?
Means, and why are you faking the mood?
To please people.
And why do you want to please people?
For different reasons.
And what are our options here?
You know, it could be political, it could be economic, it could be I just want to please that person because I like the person, you know.
Okay, but then why, and we would use it, and so that means if it's political because there's a political benefit necessary.
Yes.
Or economic because it's necessary. And why would we therefore want to be pleasing that person or gaining the economic or the political?
Why?
Yes.
Because then it's for my benefit, you know, eventually.
And then, but what's in getting benefit, why do you want to get benefit?
Because then I can enjoy the benefit.
And yes, okay. So you got the benefit, so you controlled it, so you got it, and now you can enjoy it. But then, ultimately, if that's where we end, will you be satisfied? No. So what step do we have to take that will bring about actual satisfaction?
We have to satisfy Krishna.
Yes. So that means all those things before, if we're seeing that all in connection in the process to Krishna, And if I deal with this and this person, he's a friend, so I deal nicely because, you know, this is the way Krishna wants us to deal with friends, and we're trying to please Krishna. Or is that I need the economic or political facility, and this is what's necessary for me to perform my duties as a devotee and all that, so I'm doing that because I'm being a devotee to please Krishna. As long as we get it all back like that. And I have senses, they need to be engaged, so I engage them in religious ways that, you know, would be pleasing to Krishna. Like that. Ultimately, it should be about Krishna directly, but at least I'm including Krishna in the process. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so it works. One's purified. Like Kubja. It was about she wanted to enjoy with Krishna. So her enjoying spirit was fully connected to Krishna, but it was about her enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, by serving Krishna, she'd be removed from all sins. But now, then when Krishna came and she smelled Krishna's lotus feet, that's when she was removed of all lust. And then it was now about serving Krishna. So we can see is if it's connected to Krishna, there's always benefit, but at the same time is these lower things do have to drop off. But it's not that the form of it drops off, just the lower qualities and anomalies. So as long as you see that, then it all goes back and it works very, very nicely. So that's what we're trying to get back to, is seeing it from that perspective. Because if we're so used to dealing with the secondary that we'll get into a discussion on the secondary and forget the primary. We take the primary as you know, of course it's that for that. Yeah, of course, you know, of course we're going to feed the cat. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, it's just one of those. It's just done, but the real thing is this. But no, the real thing is pleasing Krishna. And in our position, then that goes through the process of, you know, hosting and, you know, on any of these, you know, personal, political, or economic platforms. And then we're able to be comfortably situated in which we feel inspired to be engaged in devotional service. But it always has to be that devotional service. That's why it becomes purified and becomes connected. And then with time, these others will drop away and we will have just that devotion to Krishna. And we will be satisfied. So we have that kind of faith, then we know is, okay, at this time I'm doing it like this because this is how it needs to be done. But as we move forward, we give up the old places. You know, it's just like when you go up a set of stairs, you have to give up the lower step to go to the next step. If you want to hold on to that, and one foot there and one step and then another step, how far will you get? You know, yeah, you know, like that. And even if you do are able to get the bottom all the way to the top step, you can't get through the door, so... Yeah, so in other words, you have to give up the process. That's why it said the knowledge burns up the material contamination, and then that material knowledge is not necessary anymore. It's already done its job.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that.
Because we read, you know, Dadachi Pratigrinati, and it sounds like really simple, and it is.
Yes.
But then it takes so much effort to practice, you know, this loving exchanges.
Yes.
So that part we're not seeing at the first glance, and then when it comes, then we see we have to invest a lot of time, a lot of energy, you know, resources and like that.
But now just if we look at it from a logical point of view, a practical point of view, things that have minimal effort, how much return do they give? Minimal. But if there's something with more effort, it means we're talking about proper effort, not wasted effort.
Yeah.
And if we give it with proper effort, what kind of results do we get?
Good results.
So that means is that from this, that the extra effort that it takes to function on these personal platforms, it'll actually give much greater results. But if we're thinking of our results simply as economic or political, then we won't make that effort because we're actually only making an effort for very minor results. We may say they're very big, but as we'll see in 12th canto, Bhumi Devi laughs at all these, you know, persons like Jarasandha and that who think that they're great emperors of the world because they're there, they march with their armies, they take over, they have battles, and they die, and it's like, you know, where are they now? Like when we talks about a world, you know, world power. Does Macedonia ever come up in the discussions? You know, or as a world power, does Athens come up? Rome? Never. You know, because these people were there and now they're gone. And so Bhumi's laughing But they were thinking, I'm the man. And now who cares? And now it's whatever countries are there, and after a while, you know, it'll be someone else's, you know. Will be a, you know, Luxembourg or something will be the world power. You know, it just changes. It's always changing. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, it's like China, from being just that out-of-the-way place with a lot of people eating a lot of rice and nothing's happening, to, you know, very major economic power. It's just, that's the modes of nature. It changes. And they'll be there for some time. After it'll go. And just, so, therefore, we can put our efforts into those, but we'll only get the same kind of unsatisfying results that we're already getting. So when we put in that more effort on things that are recommended, and we see that the recommendations are always in connection with personal relationships, in connection with Krishna, then you see the benefit we get from there is so much greater. Because it pleases Krishna. When he's pleased, and he's the complete whole, and we're connected to that, it'll be much more pleasure than trying to make 1/10,000th the tip of a hair pleased. You know how much volume it can get. Mm-hmm. Even if you're really buzzing, it's still 1/1,000th the tip of the hair of happiness. Mm-hmm. But if you're connected with Krishna, who's unlimited, mm-hmm. then that's the... Is that? Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.